Well, it's a joy to see each of you. I failed to mention earlier that we congratulations are in order for Brother Daniel and Becca Wakefield. Their little baby got here on Wednesday. Gabriel Haddon Wakefield, 9.5 pounds, 20.5 inches. And so mom and baby are doing great. And so praise the Lord for safe delivery there of that little guy. And so what a joy that is. So continue to pray for them, and we'll ask the Lord's blessings upon them. But as Brother Dan sang just a bit moment ago about we were the ones. Sometimes people argue back and forth whether it was the Romans or there's the Jews who put Christ on the cross. But truly, he went there. He came and he bled and he died, and then he was buried and rose again. But he did all of that for you and for me. You see, this thing is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You could go to this church all your life and still not go to heaven. You could never heard of this church and still go to heaven. But you could have went here all of your life, been steeped in a lot of religious things that you did with other people and not make it to heaven. It has to be personal when you realize that Jesus died on the cross for me. And knowing that he died on the cross for you and for your sins, then believing on, trusting, relying on Jesus Christ as your only hope of heaven. Not Jesus plus your church attendance, not Jesus plus your honesty, not Jesus plus your good graces of some religious figure, Jesus only. And when you do that, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, as Brother Dan said, it should have been me, but you died on my place and I trust you. This is a beautiful picture, folks. It's a beautiful thing to see what Christ has done for us. And as we celebrate Resurrection Day next Sunday and today, but as we celebrate next Sunday, let's just take it all in this week. I challenge you to be thinking this week of the items and the events that were happening in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to preach this morning for just a little while about the glorious gospel. I'd like to entitle a message that, the glorious gospel. If you'd look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find the most concise recollection of the gospel. As you find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I did hear this story about this Baptist pastor and his wife. They were looking for a dog. And so it was kind of known around they want this Christian dog. And so they were looking for this Christian dog. But they couldn't find one. Dogs are hard to find like that. But somebody overheard the fact they were looking, and they said, "Hey, I've got something. You ought to come see this." And took him over to their house. And they showed him this little dog. And they said, "Hey," he told the dog, "go get the Bible." Sure enough, that went and got the Bible, had it in his teeth, and brought it, just plopped there on the coffee table, and said, "Now show us John 3:16. And so he took his little paw, and he turned page to page to page, and put it right on John 3:16. So that's amazing. Says, "A dog for sale?" Said, "Yeah." So the preacher bought him. Took him home, and so the first time he had some friends over, he was going to show what his dog could do, and he said, "Go get the Bible." And so sure enough, he went and got the Bible in his mouth, brought it, put it on his coffee table, said, "Show him John 3:16. So he took his paw and opened it up and put it right on John 3:16. Their friend said, "Wow, that's amazing." And after they got over that, they said, "Well, does he do any other tricks? Does he do any normal things like regular dogs do?" He said, "You know, I don't know." And so he thought, "Well, I'll try him." He said, "Heel." And so that dog, as soon as he said heel, he jumped up on the pastor's lap and put one hand on his chest and put one paw on his chest, one paw on his forehead, and hit him right there. That Baptist pastor looked at his wife and said, "Oh, Mama, we're in trouble. We went and got a Pentecostal dog." So, can't tell my sources on all these jokes, but I'm looking at her, but I'm not going to tell them. So if you didn't like that, that wasn't original with me. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. As I mentioned, we're looking at one of the most concise places that the gospel is recollected or shown. Meaning the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. "Moreover, brethren," 1 Corinthians 15, "I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received," and here's the three elements of the gospel, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." I want to preach for just a little while out of those four verses about the glorious gospel. And you would do well sometime to just put that in your Bible somewhere, or maybe in the fly leaf, if somebody ever wants to. Well, what in the world is the gospel? What Paul says, "I've declared unto you the gospel." And that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Because you see, if Jesus just died for our sins and was this great sacrifice, and then they put Him in the ground and He never got out, that doesn't provide the victory. If they killed Him on the cross, put Him in the ground, and now we still went to that grave as a great monument of your affection, still doesn't provide the gospel, doesn't provide the victory, because the Bible says it had to be a complete cycle. Christ left heaven, lived 33 homesick years on this earth, was killed on a cruel cross, was buried, but then up from the grave He arose, and that was in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so I want to talk to us today about the most important message of the Word of God. And that is a mighty big statement to make. Sometimes we think about the virgin birth, and obviously very important. The second coming, as we sang a little bit about it. We think about heaven. So many wonderful doctrinal truths, but without the resurrection of Christ, we are absent from the comfort that the Word of God gives, because He was raised from the dead, and so shall we be raised incorruptible. And so this passage says that Paul is giving what he first received. And where was it that Paul first heard this message? He received the message on that road to Damascus, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" After that meeting with Jesus Christ, Paul was never the same. This was a man that had, the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul, was one that persecuted and even killed Christians for their faith in the Lord. And now after that, he becomes one of those that he formerly persecuted. He was literally never the same. I'm going to submit to you today that many of the organizations that are a blessing to you and to me around this nation and the world were started, many of them started because of somebody's belief in the resurrection. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about hospitals, orphanages, children's homes, and charities, and things that we take for granted. If you follow all the way back to their inception, you'll find many of them, they were started because people believed in Jesus Christ, and because of the change that He made in their lives, they wanted to inflict change, or they want to provide change for somebody else's life. We look so casually at the Salvation Army and the Salvation Army, that their slogan, doing the most good, and we see the work that they do for homeless, and we see those that are in need of food and clothing and shelter, and we see all that, but it was started out of one man's heart, William Booth, Captain Booth, and he and his wife. It was started out of their heart because of what Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, had done in them. And then you look at hospitals, and as I mentioned, orphanages and children's homes. Many, many, many of them started because of a great work done in the heart of the founder because of Jesus Christ. Can I preach for just a little while about the glorious gospel? Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask You to give us these next moments, dear Lord, so that we might see what this gospel does and has done to the majority of the people in this room. Bless us, I pray, for Your sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for you to listen to the whole sermon, but I especially want you to pay attention to point number 2. And so as we look at that, I give you first, though, in verse number 3, the first aspect of the message, and that is, as we see in verse number 3, a life-changing gospel. I've delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. I see this life-changing gospel because it's what he also received. And the Scripture says, as I mentioned already about the Apostle Paul, it totally changed his life. Here he goes from somebody hunting humans about what they're doing in regards to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that road to Damascus experience, he becomes one of the people who are who he formerly hunted. And so he so changed 180 degrees around from where he was that it never left him the same. He is a life-changing gospel. I stand here today as a testimony of the life-changing power of the gospel. You say, preacher, you've always been in church, and I have. But my dad, one generation behind, my father, although growing up in church, never received Christ as a Savior until he was a sailor out in San Diego, California, at a serviceman's center. And living far away from what God wanted him to do, and living long past where God had plans for his life, but he met the Savior. The resurrected Jesus Christ, as he was sitting in a serviceman's center, and the speaker that day was telling people that if only they would come to Jesus, then they could have their sins forgiven. And my family tree was totally changed after that day, because as the old saying goes, my dad got saved all over, and it changed every bit of him. And so the direction he was totally different now. The life-changing gospel. And I still believe today in the power of the gospel, and that is why we're here today, and that's what happened in your life. My friend, I'm trying to get us to rejoice today about the life-changing gospel. Decades ago in London, Charles Bradlaugh, he was an avowed infidel and claimed that there was no God. He challenged H.P. Hughes, who'd had a rescue mission and was a preacher. He challenged Hughes to a debate. And Hughes said, we'll not only debate, but we'll bring 100 people who have had their lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll not only give testimony of how their life has been changed, but they'll open themselves up for examination from whoever you've got. And so the challenge or the gauntlet was thrown down. Bradlaugh was challenging Hughes, and Hughes accepted the challenge. So on the particular day, Hughes brought 100 folks that had been saved through his rescue mission and ready for Bradlaugh's crowd to challenge them. And these folks knew this wouldn't be a pleasant experience. It's never easy when somebody's throwing pot shots at you to try to shoot holes in your testimony. But the people came. To their surprise, Bradlaugh didn't even show. But there was a crowd that was gathered because it had been advertised as what it was going to be. Some scoffers, some doubters, some skeptics, and some believers. But they all were there. Hughes used it as an opportunity to go ahead and do what he said he was going to do and let any of the 100 people that wanted to give testimony about their conversion and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ give testimony to the glory of God. Many people that were there to scoff and to doubt and to be cynics were born again because of the testimony of the people who were saved through the rescue mission, who were there only to challenge an infidel. My friend, I'm just trying to get us to see this morning that it works. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Hymn 150 in our hymn book says that. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I see the life-changing gospel. I know that it changes lives because as the Bible is not only a historical book, but it is a historical book, and it shows the way that Paul's life was changed from a God-hater to a person that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. But I told you I'd really like for you to pay attention to the second point, and here it is. Verse number 1 says this, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. And that last phrase, wherein ye stand. Sounds a lot like Romans chapter 5, where it says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. Oftentimes we think about the gospel and it was such wonderful music to your ears when you were unsaved. It was such wonderful time. Maybe you sat in the back of an auditorium such as this and finally the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow you to be, wouldn't relent, and you finally came out and got saved. Or maybe it was your mother's knee that you called out to Jesus Christ. Maybe it was a coworker that showed you your need for the gospel. It was a welcome sign though, a welcome hearing though rather, whenever you got to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we think that the gospel is done after I'm saved. But the scripture says it's not only what saves you, it's what allows you to stand now that you are saved. Let us therefore, Hebrews chapter number 4 says, let us therefore boldly come unto the throne of grace. And this powerful gospel message is what continues in my life and in your life up until this day. As I mentioned, hymn number 140, the hymn writer said, "Ye ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." This, folks, is not only a life-changing gospel, but it's an empowering gospel. What I mean by that is, everything that you're going to face this week, that same Lord who raised from the dead is the same Lord that goes with you through every issue you're facing this very week. The Bible says, I was made righteous by the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of Christ. And that same powerful message is what assures me that one of these days, I'll get up out of the grave. You understand that it not only was a wonderful story that happened some 2,000 odd years ago, but it's a wonderful truth today, because that same power of the resurrection is what gives us assurance today. The gospel is not important only when you are a lost sinner, but it's important now. If our Savior kicked the ends out of that grave that He was in and had provided victory over death, hell, and the grave, and I can tell you what's on the fear of most people in the world today, even if they say they do not believe it, what's fear is on the most of the unsaved world today is what happens to me after this life. Now, all of us know what it's like to walk in fear of something that may or may not happen. You multiply that by 10,000 when you walk in fear of what's going to happen to your very soul when you leave this world. And so now you and I that are believers in Christ, yes, we had the life-changing gospel that took me off the road to hell and put me on the road to heaven, but not only do we have that life-changing gospel, we have the empowering gospel. That is what we have today when we walk through our lives. You say, how can you face troubles, and how can you face difficulties, and how can you face turmoil and torture, and how can you face all these things? I can tell you this, there's been believers over these centuries that have been tortured for their faith, they've been martyred for their faith, and they've been deprived for their faith. And many of those accounts that were given about them, oftentimes they were given an opportunity to recant their faith or pull it back and say, I don't believe in Christ anymore. And you look at books like Fox's Book of Martyrs and other books about martyrs, and you'll see that oftentimes they said, I can't recant my trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. You talk about some empowering message. The empowering message of the gospel. And so I'm challenging you this week to do some heavy duty contemplation on the gospel message. What has it done for me in the past, and what it's doing for me in the present? I give you this last one. The Bible says in verse number 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I give you this last one, and that is this. It's a common gospel. You say, what do you mean by common? I don't mean common everyday play, everyday run of the mill. I'm talking about the same across the board. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 3, that God talked about the common salvation. Not common, run-of-the-mill, average, ordinary, everyday gospel, meaning it's the same across the board. In January of 2013, there was a coin. It was a flowing hair dollar coin that was sold for $10 million. It was so rare. 1794, it was minted. But if you have a, not that you don't see them that often anymore, but they're still as common as get out. You have a Susan B. Anthony dollar in your pocket. You know how much that dollar's worth? A dollar. And losing a little bit every day. But the gospel that Paul got is the same gospel that John got. If you got the gospel, it's the same gospel you got. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. You know what's so special about this church? The thing so special about this church is it's preaching the same thing now as it preached in its inception. It's preaching the same thing now as when those forefathers came across the mountains from somewhere else. And you know what this church needs to keep on doing? Keep preaching that common gospel. And you know what a lot of other churches around in this area and every other area need to start? And that is preaching that common gospel. Would to God that every group of people that gather together today or for the Lord's Day would hear, as the apostle said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, plus nothing, minus nothing. What I say matters very little, but what the Word of God says matters immensely. And the special message of the apostle Paul was, Jesus saves sinners because of His resurrection. And the message that I give today is that Jesus saves sinners, and He's able to do it because of the resurrection. This gospel is universal. It's across the board. I sometimes imagine things, and imagine if you would with me, somebody out from the shoreline 300 yards somehow out in the water, and you take another person out that's 500 yards out from the shore. How senseless would it be for that person 300 yards out to say, boy, you guys out there, you're in real big trouble. They're both in real big trouble. It would be about as senseless as somebody saying to some other sinner and say, wow, you're in a lot of trouble. He's in about as much trouble as you are. You say, yeah, but I'm not a sinner like that person. You may not be doing the same sins, but you are the same a sinner. And this morning, if you have been guilty of playing that game of I'm not as bad as so-and-so over there, if you've been guilty of saying at least I'm not a sinner like so-and-so over there, well, at least I'm keeping my job, at least I'm keeping my family, at least I'm doing this. If you've been guilty of playing that game of looking at somebody else saying, wow, I'm glad I'm not like them, that's a whole lot like some stories in the Scriptures where people look down their nose at somebody else who was just a sinner like they were, but just not in the same fashion. I tell you, if that's you this morning, if you've been looking at your life and saying, I'm pretty good, I'm not that bad, then I tell you, you need the common gospel. That gospel that saved me, that gospel that saved somebody else, that same gospel, because if anybody gets saved, they get saved the same way, not the Baptist way, not the Sunday morning way, not the Sunday night way or the Wednesday night way, but the gospel way. And if you're here today like one of those swimmers that's out 300 yards, and you're looking down your nose at somebody's out 500 yards and say, you'll never make it to the shore, well, my friend, you out there, you won't make it either. And if you're a sinner looking down at another sinner, saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not like you, I'm going to try to swim for it, I can tell you this, you'll never make heaven except you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What He did in that instance when He rose again was provide salvation. So this morning, my message is twofold to you as a Christian. Maybe you came in this morning, you said, I've been saved for so long. I know the gospel so well, but you've forgotten that it's the power of God in your life right now as a saved individual walking through this life. You need to be empowered by that gospel, because my friend, if Jesus Christ could defeat death, hell, and the grave, guess where that puts whatever problem you're going to have this week on that list? Somewhere below what Jesus has already defeated. That means if you're having family problems, that's easier to fix than death. That means if you're having marital problems, that's come somewhere below the issues of death. And Jesus has already defeated death. So that means everything below there is easily defeated by our resurrected Savior. It's the empowering gospel. And my second message is to you, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, maybe you're looking at somebody else and saying, at least I'm trying to live a better life, and I applaud you for that. I'm trying to live a better life than they are. But my friend, you can't get to heaven by living a good life. Because there's nothing that we can do in ourselves that would earn us a spot in heaven. Because even if you live perfect from here on, which is impossible, but if you live perfect from now till the day you die, what are we going to do about those infractions and those sins and those wrongdoings before today? You need a dose of the common salvation. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which was delivered to me. And so what was delivered to me as a little boy was that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, and after 3 days, he rose again in victory over death, hell, and the grave. I had it delivered to me. This morning, I'm delivering it to you. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, you need to come to Jesus Christ, receiving him into your heart and into your life as your only hope of heaven. That's the gospel. I trust that you will respond to it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, we certainly need your help. Not a bombastic message, dear Lord, but one that's so true. The people that I love, they're sitting in front of me, are saved, many of them, most of them. Lord, they need to be reminded again that this gospel is empowering. May those that know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And I pray, dear Lord, that they would be empowered this very week. And then, dear Lord, I pray if there's one or several in this room that are not sure that they're saved, perhaps they're watching via live stream or the radio, but they're not sure that they're saved. They're trying to live a good life. That's not the gospel. Try to live a good life so you get to heaven. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we could go to heaven, and we must receive him as our Savior. If there's somebody in this room and you're saying, Brother Herdman, I need to be saved. I need to quit trying to get to heaven on my own, and I just need to start trusting Jesus to get me there. Well, don't talk to me about it. Wouldn't you talk to him about it? The Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you tonight, today, and you want to be saved, would you, there where you sit or there where you listen at home, would you word a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, Jesus, I do believe you died, were buried, and rose again. Right now, I not only believe that, I receive that. For the forgiveness of my sins, I receive you as my personal Savior. And quit trying to get to heaven on your own and start trusting the Lord to take you to heaven. If that's you today, I trust you to do business with the Lord and you'd receive Christ as your Savior. If you're able to stand together with us as the ladies play something through, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Perhaps the Lord has moved upon your heart and you'd like to come and have a little bit more explanation and receive Christ as your Savior. Would you step out and come? Maybe you have some other issue you'd like to pray about. Maybe you'd like to have somebody pray with you. Then the altar is open for you as well. As they play one more verse, if God's dealing with your heart, would you step out and come? Maybe you need somebody just to pray with. Going through some issue, and the Bible is very clear that we ought to bear one another's burdens. Sometimes people don't know you have one. Maybe you'd like to come share it with somebody and let them pray with you. Not as a gossip session, but as a true brother and sister in Christ, letting them help you bear that burden. Thank you. You may look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in God's house this morning, and thank you for being here in your place, and what a joy it is. And just give you these couple of announcements. If you're if you're ladies and you'd like to have more information about that ladies' meeting coming out, Amy will be right out in the middle of the lobby, and she'll be glad to give you information, or you can sign up for that. Please don't forget to be praying for the revival. It starts tomorrow night. Come back tonight. We'll give you a little bit of instructions for how to help us navigate through. We're expecting a wonderful crowd next Sunday morning for Resurrection Day. Want you to come tonight. We'll go through some things that we can do to help guests as they arrive, some different placement on some kids' classes and whatnot. So please come for all of that. We'll have a great time together, and I think that's all we've got. If you are a guest with us today, again, thank you so much for being here, and please stop by the guest services out in the lobby, and we'd love to get to meet you. I'll be out there close to Amy where she's at the table, and if you need something, we'll certainly be glad to talk with you. Well, one joyous thing today is that Katie Schreiner, right here up front with Jordan, she has come and would like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. She's saved. She's been baptized after she got saved, and wants to follow the Lord in her life, of course, and so she's trying to live for Him, and we thank the Lord for that, but she also wants to join, unite in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and will you rejoice with me? I think you would, but we would need a motion to accept her into membership. Brother Scott Martin makes that motion. And Brother Joe Shaw seconds the motion. All in favor, say amen. 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 And this is always everybody's least favorite, but some of you make sure you come by and say hello to Katie and get to know her. But we are joyed that she is here, and we thank the Lord for her, and we're certainly glad to have her as part of our church here. So thank you so much. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tonight. You're dismissed.